It's 8 o'clock. We'll get into the out of left field question here in just a second. But I want to bring up what leads to it. Because I saw an article written by the Kansas City Star. Kansas City, sometimes I get upset. Because I don't like to believe these things. Because I honestly don't know how they vote upon them. But Kansas City ranked the fifth worst in drivers in the United States of America.
Doesn't shock me.
And I want to be as easy as that to where I'm like, man, it doesn't shock me. I've had complaints about people driving. I know that I'm not perfect.
I've driven around these people.
Right. And Kansas City is the fifth worst when it comes to driving in the United States, according to Forbes. Kansas City Star wrote the article because they saw this in Forbes magazine, which I don't, it's kind of weird that Forbes would be the people that would come up with this.
Forbes is just like, they come up with like random studies and articles about stuff like that.
And then all of a sudden they'll come out with, here's the richest people in the world.
Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, like here's how much these wrestlers make, even though they don't have any data to back it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And number one on the list was Albuquerque, New Mexico, which I don't have any relevance of that.
But where are you going in Albuquerque?
Yeah.
What is there?
I mean,
that's why.
You can go see where they filmed Breaking Bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I do remember there was a story that developed that people would drive by the house that the white family lived at because they wanted to see if there was still a pizza on the roof. Like, you kidding me? Like, that really what we're doing here?
You really think they just left that pizza up there?
No.
It's so stupid.
913. It's mainly Missouri drivers, Dustin.
No, it's them Kansas drivers. Don't lie.
Because I do see some of you out there, and that's what brings up the out of left field question. 913-586-7610. What's your biggest flaw as a driver? 913-586-7610. The out of left field question tonight, because Kansas City is a top five ownership of the worst drivers in America, according to Forbes. Let's all have an honest conversation here. What's your biggest flaw when it comes to driving your vehicle? 913-586-7610. Real simple tonight. Your biggest flaw while driving. Chris, I've flipped a coin. You won the toss. You can either go San Francisco 49ers and receive. Okay. I have two flaws, and I admit to these. I have a flaw of one, at a red light, I'll for some reason think it's okay to pull up Instagram and start looking through stories.
Yeah, and I understand. A lot of people do that.
And every once in a while I'll get the little
You get caught with the green light. Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't know we were on Paige Sporanic's story. I apologize. My other flaw that I would say is that sometimes I feel like I'm in a sold-out arena performing a rock song. And I got the strum down on the dashboard. I'm hitting the drums on the seatbelt to the side of me. And I think I'm Bruce Springsteen, 1984, Born to Run Tour. Or Born in the USA Tour. And sometimes I probably ought to be paying more attention to the road. I probably ought to be looking around. But those are my big flaws that I'm okay to admit as a Kansas City driver. I either can just wait till I get to my destination to check on Instagram, but sometimes them red lights, they take a little longer than some on others. And I get a little lost in transition of what I'm looking at. Or I think I'm a one-man band. Those are my flaws. 913-586-7610, out of left field question. What is your biggest flaw while driving your vehicle?
For me, it is I tend to be on the road ragey side.
Oh, you got to stop that. You're getting too old.
I try to work on that.
You're getting too old,
Chris. As I get into my mid-30s, yeah. I try to work on it. But you drive around 35, you drive 435, sometimes 71, though it's not quite as bad on 71.
Not coming to work this time of day, but if we were leaving at like 5 o'clock, yeah. Oh boy. You'd
35, worst highway in the city. So many bad drivers on 35.
Okay.
Just like, And I got this tendency. I get real pissed off. I'll pull up right next to you while we're driving, and I'll give you a look. Ugh. And if you want to talk some stuff, we're going to talk. Like, it was like a month ago.
See, it's not worth it to me anymore.
Some dude in this F-150 cut all the way across, right side to left side on Metcalf.
Oof.
I'm going in the far left lane to turn. He almost hits me. And so I was giving him the business.
Yeah,
like,
you
I pulled up next to him. I had the windows down. I was giving him the business. I give him some respect. Mm-hmm. He apologized. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't know where I'm going. I'm a little lost. And I was like, okay. Like, I gave him a little bit more, but I backed off after that. I was like, hey, man, like, you need to figure out what you're doing, bro, because you almost messed my car up. Like,
and it's too new.
I was like, bro, I didn't get this a year ago, bro. So you better get it together. So like, but I have respect for him because he apologized. Most of y'all don't apologize when y'all mess up on the road. Y'all just hands on the 10-2 and you straightforward.
Yep.
And you don't even look. You don't apologize. You don't nothing. And so, yeah, I'll give you the look. And most of the time when I do, they back off. They slow down. They get into the slow lane and they back off because they know what it is.
Right.
But like, my thing is this is like, that's my issue is that if you're a really bad driver, if you do something dangerous and you're going to mess my stuff up, I'm going to have to give it to you. So, you know, that's my big flaw. If y'all drive better, I'd be a better person out there.
So your biggest flaw is technically caused by
other people. Yeah,
why am
people.
I not surprised by
yeah, this? It's other people.
From the 913, rolling my windows down and turning music up so people can hear it at a light.
I don't do that.
Okay. Better be a good song.
Yeah, I don't do that. Yeah, because some of y'all be doing that and your music is whack. And I want to like throw something in your window.
I also hate when motorcycles have radios up. Like, I never understood that. Like I when a motorcycle like drive through your street, and all of a sudden they got a radio on their motorcycle, and it's like you could hear it from two states over.
Somebody said they drive 5 over the limit max, drives their wife crazy. I'm being called. I'm cool with that. As long as you stay in the slow lane, I respect you driving at your pace. Just don't get in the fast. If you in the left lane driving like that, get the hell over.
Yeah.
But if you in the right lane, if you in the far right lane, if it's like three lanes on the highway, do you, bro. Like, I'm not mad at nobody for driving at their pace as long as you're not holding up traffic.
913, I'm legally blind. Okay. Their flaw is driving in the damn slow lane. Turn signal when switching lanes. See, this is a topic we had the other night, and I've never understood this. I have really become to get frustrated with people that have just apparently forgotten their turn signal.
I hate that.
Big time, dude.
That's another one. I give you a look. I pull up next to your ass. I give you a look.
So I've done this now. So I, in two different areas in my, where I live, one is in downtown Lee's Summit. You're in a downtown district, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's wherever, where there is a four-way stop. You have to use a turn signal, because if two cars are just going straight and nobody has a turn, then I'm assuming that we're going straight. Maybe that's my problem is assuming. But then when somebody's going to turn left and I'm looking at you like, dude, go straight. And then you turn left. I'm like, well, then why are you, what are you doing?
You know what? Another thing is you just, when they turn their turn signal right before they turn, like they slow down and then they hit the turn signal and then they turn right after.
No, you got to let
us. They don't do it before they slow down. They do it and then they slow down and they're right before they start their turn. They do it. Like, what are you doing it for? I know you're turning at this point.
I need 10 yards.
Like, if you're going to turn before you start hitting a brake, that way I know to be prepared for that. But when you start braking and then you turn it on, you're just wasting everybody's time. Stop being an idiot and do it right. You're doing it in the wrong order.
816, driving the speed limit seems to be my biggest flaw since people just fly past me all the time. Let it fly, dude.
That's fine. Let them do it. As long as you're not in the fast lane, I don't care if you're driving the speed limit.
Yeah. From the 913, you only be blasting music with the windows down if it's death metal or hardcore punk music.
Nah, you gotta do hip hop too. Hip hop counts as part of that.
I like I like sometimes when it's like football season and I'm done like a early show or something, I'll drive home and play like that classic sort of Chiefs music. Just to like drive by people that are outside
Red Kingdom?
Or something. Just no, not that song. Like maybe like Gary Glitter, which has been banned.
Yeah, it's banned.
The rock and roll part two.
Probably not the song you want to play.
Well, I don't support anything he did, but left lane is not a fast lane, it's a passing lane. Correct.
Yeah, I don't like when people are like 90, 100 down the left lane like no. that, just flying past
80 it. Max.
Yeah, yeah.
Because 15 is going to maybe get you a ticket, but yeah. that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
But I'll get out of your way because nothing is more infuriating when you're driving like 80 in the fast lane and somebody's
right
up on you.
Somebody's going 70 miles an hour in the fast. Like, get the hell over.
Yeah.
I give it out to you.
I don't really give it out. I've been giving it a lot because there's times where, like, you know, like I'm maybe not doing what they like.
Yeah, I'll pass out some birds here and there. Yeah.
I've gotten a few.
I've only gotten like a handful, but usually I'm the one that's delivering it to people.
Yeah. I gave a horn today to an old lady because she just wasn't paying attention. It was at, in fact, I can tell you where it's at. It was at 3rd Street and the outer road. There's a Hardee's on the right. There's a gas station in front of me. Turned left, had the light, and she went all the way out in the yield lane to where she's clearly supposed to be watching if anybody's going left and got halfway out there. There was a heavy horn. I mean, I love my horn. I love that thing. Because depending on the severity of how bad you messed up is how long I hold that thing down.
Oh, yeah. That dude that almost hit me, he got it for like a good 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I was holding it down. I was cussing. Like, I was giving it a business there.
Old people with the welder's glasses need to stay off the road. Damn right.
I think if you are a person that is driving like 10 miles under the speed limit and you're elderly, just get an Uber. Get
really
Uber Eats.
They know how to use the Uber.
Just get, have your grandson or granddaughter teach you how to use the mobile phone so you can just get that stuff delivered. Don't be driving around in your 90s Mercury sedan going 15 and a 35. Like, get the hell off the road.
I bet grandma would love you if you picked her up and said, let's go get some, you know.
Yeah, like, get you a ride or something. Like, don't be out there cruising around on the highway at 50 miles an hour and the rest of us are trying to get home or get to work or wherever.
You want to have a real fun 10-minute topic? Let's bring up roundabouts.
Oh, roundabouts are bad, yeah.
Like, they're supposed to speed traffic up. And if done right, they are beautiful.
Yes.
But there's one out of every four cars, someone doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
Or somebody is just absolutely dumb. Like, it's just like, hey, man, you do realize it's a next in motion sort of thing. So if this guy's coming around the bend, wait your ass. If he's not and he goes in front of you and there's nobody behind him, then you're more than welcome to go.
It's kind of like, you know, I always kind of think of the roundabout like the option, the read option in football.
Yeah.
Where you're like reading the edge coming off of the side that the quarterback would run to. And you're sitting there waiting to see if they're going to stop or pursue the running back. And that's kind of how it is. So I'm like sitting there waiting to see, oh, is he going to turn here? Is he going to turn? No, he keeps going. Okay, now I know the way. Like, that's kind of how I view the whole thing. But yeah. Yeah, most people don't. There's always that one person out there that does not know how the roundabout works. Especially if it's a two-lane roundabout. A lot of them don't know how that works.
816, we got a prevert. I pay far too much attention to ladies walking their dogs or jogging.
I get it.
Yep.
I get it.
Sometimes they got that Lululemon on.
Yep, I 100% get it. Pay attention
to
the road.
You forgot they had a golden retriever. Hey, we're just here being honest. What's your biggest flaw? 913-586-7610. That's the out of left field question. I blast Red Kingdom when I get close to a Chiefs watch party. Do you, boo?
Somebody said don't back in a parking spot.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. Had a story like this the other day at Quick Trip. I was getting ready to do the 10 to 2 show. This guy pulled in. You know how Quick Trips are, you know, they can get congested.
Yes.
And this guy pulled in, stopped, went forward. So then somebody thought he was going into the gas pump. So that person then started to back out.
Yeah.
And then he put it in reverse and parked. I'm like, dude, you're at Quick Trip. You really got to back in at Quick Trip.
If you have the space and the time, I don't care if you back into your spot. If you back into your spot when it's congested, when the parking lot is full, you're kind of a douchebag. Like, that's just being real. Like don't back into a parking spot if it's a whole bunch of people around.
Yeah.
Because you're just taking everybody. You're taking time. And we're just trying to get in and get out.
Because I understand if, like, you live on a busy street and your driveway backs into the street, that's fine. I'll give you the common courtesy any day of the week. to be that person that has to back into the, you know, into the driveway. Because I know that's probably got to be miserable to back out into traffic.
Oh, yeah, I get that. And I get that. Like I like I said, I can respect people who do that when it's the, you got the time, you got the space. Yeah. I know a lot of people that do it. But if you are, if it's crowded, if it's like 5 o'clock at Quick Trip and you back it into one of them parking spots that open up, you're causing everyone else trouble.
Correct.
Bro. You're not that special, bro.
By the way, good news, before we get into the revamped topic that we did at the top of the hour, the Orioles defeat the Guardians 4-2. The Guardians lose today, the Royals win. We'll get into what we talked about at the beginning of the show when we say, are you in or are you jumping ship to the lifeboat and watching from afar? I'm Dusty Likens. That's Chris Nocero. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Their tour's fully underway.
Yeah, them tickets are real expensive.
You got to know somebody here that can definitely hook you up.
So apparently, the back into the parking lot crowd kind of showed up on the text line. Somebody's like, it's safer to back in first. Can't see when backing out. We have backup cameras now.
Yeah.
If you can't see backing out, that sounds like a you problem. Because you can just, I mean, I got a backup camera. I'm sure you got a backup camera on your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Like,
I do.
It's 2024. Like, unless you're driving like one of them trucks from the 90s or early 2000s, you probably have a backup camera on your truck.
The only time I can't use mine is if it snows and it lets me know right away on my dashboard, like backup unavailable.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I never use it anyway.
I don't use mine very much.
I really
much
don't.
Anyways.
Unless I'm like at a Target. Or I'm at somewhere that's like a tight spot to like park. I'll like make sure because I'll hear the beep and then I'll look.
Yeah, like I think a lot of people are making excuses for it. But if you want to do it when it's a clear parking lot, you don't have a bunch of cars behind you. Mm. Cool, do you, bro? But if you're in a crowded parking lot and you got cars behind you and you stop and you back into a parking lot, that's completely unnecessary. Like, again, we have technology to help you back out of that parking spot.
No doubt.
You have the means to be able to do that. It's the reason why we have it in the first place.
And if you can't back out of a parking spot, you probably shouldn't drive.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't have got that truck if you struggled to back out of that parking spot with it.
Today's Royals game was a success among many different philosophies, I guess you could say, for this season. By the way, if you missed it, Cleveland loses today. They almost swept Baltimore. They did not. Baltimore ended up winning that game 4-2. Minnesota will play later tonight, actually here in about 20 minutes against Arizona. And the Royals won today. The Royals won a series today. They beat the small fish, no pun intended. But they did it with what was an offensive surgence.
Here comes the pitch to Vinny. Line center field. That's going to tie the game. Here comes Witt to score. Pasquantino delivers again.
Now, that was early, as Bobby Witt would score two runs today. That was one. The other one, it would be in the eighth inning, with two outs. They would start to put it together, maybe a little something-something.
Big lead, Blanco at second. Line shot up the left field line, fair by less than a foot. Blanco scores. Salvi racing for second. Royals lead 2-1.
That would then be followed up with a Nick Lofton at bat.
Royals with two here in the bottom of the eighth. And a liner into left field. That's going to drop for a hit. Salvador going to score. Here he comes. 3-1.
Then the icing on the cake would be your boy, Freddie Freeman.
Lined over shortstop. Extra runs. One run is in. Two runs are in. Another man racing to third. And the Royals have blown this game open. Remain two-run single.
So for those of you that can't understand audio, it's quite simple and quite more pieces that you didn't hear. Bobby Witt Jr. triples. Vinny Pasquantino hits the game-tying RBI. Salvador Perez would hit the go-ahead RBI double. Nick Lofton would get an RBI single. MJ Melendez would get a single. Hunter Renfroe would walk. Freddie Fermin would knock in the two. The Royals were held scoreless for 7 2/3 innings. The Royals offense put together a 5-run, 2-out, funk-busting rally. That from Jake Eisenberg, play-by-play of the Kansas City Royals. From his Twitter account, is that the sort of thing that gets you still feeling good on this Royal Caribbean cruise ship that we are riding all throughout the summer? And where we started this show with was the expectations that are up to you to consider whether you're going too far or you're staying pat with where you've been. Because a lot of you would say, and I've heard many people say it, that the Royals need something, or the Royals need a big sort of inning to do it. Bottom of the eighth, down one, backs to the wall with two outs, seeming bleak of an offense that we've seen for the last, I don't know, eight games, not a whole lot of offense. And then this sort of thing happens, and it starts with your leader, the total package, and Bobby Witt Jr. with the triple. And then the rest of the line follows, and you see that 2015 narrative of keep the line moving. But it's quite simple. Are you still on this ship, or are you ready to jump out? There's a lifeboat available for you if you want to jump out. But again, this ship's expectations was to ride along all summer long and enjoy competitive baseball. Just like you go on a cruise where sometimes where you stop in port, you're not going to have the best time. It's not your thing. Going to the, you know, native land where they do all this stuff and make you do all these weird dates, maybe that's not your thing. Call that a losing streak. But then you might go somewhere else where it's like a midday jump into an island oasis where you're fed cocktails and everything's great and you got a nice, you know, Caribbean jerk chicken dinner. That's a winning streak. But you're riding that cruise no matter what you are because it's been a fun ride. That's what we looked for when we started talking about baseball at the start of the season. They're still competitive. They're still a wild card team. They're playing good baseball. They're miles and miles ahead of what they were last year. It just kind of gets to the point of what are your expectations and where are you taking them? Because I get it. Expectations can change. And the analogy that we had given earlier in the show was when the Chiefs first started Patrick Mahomes, it's like, let's see what the kid can do. We've seen glimpses. They've been in preseason. They've been with second teams. They've been against a crappy Denver defense that was in week 17 when they were already packing their bags to go to Fiji. But then all of a sudden he goes 3-0 and throws like 13 or 14 touchdowns in his first three games. And you go, okay, this team could be a Super Bowl team. And they damn near were. And maybe that's where you're at with this Royals team. Not saying they're a World Series team, but maybe you've solidified in your mind, this team is a playoff team. That's up to you to ride that out. I'm not going to tell you how to root for your Royals, but I will tell you to go back to your roots of the Royals and say what you said at the beginning of the season. Give me competitive baseball. That's exactly what they've done. It's exactly what they've done.
I like I said, I think that what's happening here is people have unnecessarily changed their expectations. And to me, I just feel like you should kind of stick to how things are. If you've been watching baseball long enough, you know that teams don't do the worst to first thing in baseball that often. And when they do, it's not necessarily like, okay, you're one of the worst teams in baseball. You immediately become like a real championship contending team. There is very much building up to it a lot of times. And if you look at this Royals team, there are a lot of question marks going into the year, and there still are a lot of question marks about this team, about a lot of players on this team. And a month ago, when you watched that team go on the surge that they did in late May, you still should have known that what we've seen the last 2 weeks was very possible, because there's a lot of evidence to show that a lot of these guys probably were overperforming a bit at that time. That doesn't mean that those guys can't elevate their game and improve upon where they've been in previous years. I mean, I don't think we expected Seth Lugo to come in and do what he's done. I don't think we expected Reagans to come out there and mow down guys the way that he has.
Yeah.
But we saw that there was some talent there. And I think we can agree that, you know, some of these guys have exceeded our expectations. And now some of those guys are starting to kind of fall back and regress to what they've been.
Right.
And I think our expectations shouldn't have changed, or some people's expectations shouldn't have changed a month ago. Because, like, you watch this team and it's like, this is a team that does not, they don't have a Yankees type roster.
No, they have $300 million on their roster.
Yeah. Like, You don't have a Dodgers like roster where you've got a guy on there who has a contract like $700 million, though he's not being paid anything.
Right.
But, like, you don't have guys like that on your roster that you are very certain when they go into the year, probably going to hit like 280 plus.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. and maybe Salvi are like the two guys you're looking at as like, okay, maybe those guys will hit 280 plus on the year.
Right.
But even Salvi's been like a 250, 260 hitter for a while. So it's like, I just don't know why you would, if you knew how baseball works, you would watch this team this year and then adjust your expectations when if you knew how this team was built, you knew that there were still a ton of question marks going into the year, and there's still a ton of question marks now. There were question marks a month ago about guys.
Right.
So I just, like the people that are jumping off the bandwagon, the people that are done with the team, quote unquote, like, you were never really with the team anyways. You were a fan that wasn't watching the game, that wasn't listening to the games, that was telling us to talk Chiefs whenever we would talk Royals a little bit during the shows. And then all of a sudden, now they get good. Now you want to be on it. And then when they struggle just a little bit, when they're still games over 500, you're like, I'm done with the team. If I'd have told you 2-3 months ago that this Royals team was going to be multiple games over 500 going into July, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. That's great. I'll watch that. I'll pay. I'll support that.
Right.
But now that you've got it, because it isn't as sexy as you wanted, because you're a lot of these people are saying they would much rather the team win the World Series than lose a bunch of years. It's like, no, you wouldn't. Because you complain all the years that they don't win the World Series. So, like, you're just admit you're a fair weather fan and you only care about the team when they're good,
right,
and we'll accept you. You can stay out of grown folks' business when we talk baseball because you clearly aren't ready to have that conversation. But if you want to learn about the game, if you want to really become a fan of the team that loves the team,
right,
instead of roots for them when they're good, we'll accept you. But you got to understand that, like, you don't know as much as we do because we've been here since day one.
And some of it is passion, which is fine. Because that's like, that's like the text that says, I turned the game off in the eighth and missed it, mad at myself, from Caldroni, a buddy that I went to high school with. I probably should have turned off my senior year high school game against Blue Springs South when you threw four interceptions in the second half. Now everybody on the air knows. But that's okay, Nick. I still love you. But the thing about this is that, like, I understand that passion. Like, I understand where you're like, damn it, I don't want to be let down again. That happens to all of us. How many times have you been watching a Chiefs game and you've got to go to your special spot in the house and listen to it somewhere else? There's those people out there like that too. But again, I look at texts like this one above that one from the 816. The Royals just don't have the horses to be a playoff contender. They are still a leadoff hitter, a solid fifth slot hitter, two relievers, and a closer away from being a legitimate division winner. They are 10-19 since May 25th. Those are great stats. But you know who leads their division? The best team in baseball. So maybe we can put that to side, because no one, I don't believe anyone, if they told me this, had the Royals winning the Central at the beginning of the year. No one, including myself, had the Royals being a playoff team at the beginning of the year. I just said, give me some competitive baseball and get me to training camp. And so far, they're doing that. Now, if you are to up your expectations and think they can be a playoff team because of the month of May they had, then that's on you. That's putting yourself in an upper echelon of expectations. And for that, I applaud you, but also own those stripes if you're let down. Because in the all beginning, when we started this cruise ship, the narrative was quite simple. Let's have a fun summer of fun baseball and see what happens at the end and see how long we can ride this cruise ship. And that's what we're doing. Never once was it, we're going to ride this thing all the way to the playoffs, all the way to the ALCS, the ALDS, then the ALCS is how it goes, Dusty. But how we were going to do this was to have a fun summer of baseball. And by God, the Royals are doing that. You got people buying the app that said they weren't going to, I won't buy it. Oh, well, they're playing good baseball. You got people that say, oh, let's see what they're doing against Cleveland. What happens if they go take 2-3 out of 4 from Cleveland? I bet you're bought back in. And again, expectations. Would I love 3 out of 4? Of course. Will I be happy and smile and give high fives if they go 2 of 4 in Cleveland and split it? Damn right. But again, expectations are what make fan reactions different. I don't get mad at the people that turn the game off or, you know, don't want to watch it. I wish you would keep it on. Like that game against Seattle on that Friday night when they came back and won. Everybody goes, what happened the next day? I said, oh, you didn't see. Weird. What else were you doing?
I'm cool. If you want to, like, turn the game off for that game, because, like, I've done that before, like, Chiefs games where they just get absolutely blitzed and it's done by halftime. I can respect that. I can understand that. No one wants to watch their team go out there and get smacked around. So I get that.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're done with the team, if you're like, I'm not watching any more games because they lost a game when there's still multiple games above 500, like, dude, like, are you really in this? Like, are you really about this? Because, like, look, part of being a fan is watching your team lose games, man. Like, all of us have watched our teams lose games in ways that suck, you know? Like, I do not like watching highlights of Chiefs losses. So I get it, but, like, I'm not done with the team when they lose a game. I'm not going to go out and say, I'm done on this team. Like, there were people last year, I'm done with the Chiefs team if they lose. Like, after the Raiders lost on Christmas, I'm done with the team. They're done. Like, look, we could be mad at the game and at the performance and at the effort. Being done with the team, really? After that? Nah, you're being dramatic here. Like, you can be mad at the team and also not pretend like you're going to abandon the team, you know? Right. Like, that's like when you're mad at your child for doing something they shouldn't do.
Yeah. At least you're not counting down the days to camp.
Yeah, you're not sitting there like, man, can't wait till you turn 18 so you get out the house. Like, you start doing that, you don't really seem like a mature parent, you know? It's that kind of situation with a lot of these fans.
Apparently we pissed off somebody about backing into parking lots.
Apparently. They wrote a whole memo on this.
I don't understand where these words get crossed. You know what? I'm not going to get into it. On the other side, we'll talk about Cleveland, and we won't talk about backing cars up because apparently somebody from the 913 took it a little too harsh and took words out of context. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Chris Lucero, and I apologize to all of you that like to back into your parking spots. Just do you, boo. This is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Somebody really liked your Blink-182 bomb music, and then they asked, have you listened to the song, The Story, so far?
I have not.
I respect the song, but that's not Blink-182. The Story, so far, is Newfound Glory from the album Sticks and Stones.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that.
And that album goes way back. That's like my...
It's like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, I want to say that was probably like my 8th grade soundtrack. And then the Untitled Blink album was probably my 9th grade soundtrack. My 7th grade soundtrack was the Take Off Your Pants and whatever.
Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Yeah, that was my... That album changed my life.
That album was great.
That album definitely changed my life.
Yeah, yeah. We listened to that a lot down south.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding, man. That album, when it came out, I was like, that was one of those, like, Carrington always does those where it's like, what's an album that has no skips? That's one for me.
Yeah, that one's pretty great. I mean, like, the singles off of that one are really strong.
Oh, yeah. We had Stay Together for the Kids. You had First Date.
Girl at the Rock Show.
Girl at the Rock Show. Which was like the poppy
hit. That one
hit. Played
so much on the radio. Like, First Date got some play, but mainly the Rock Show, that one was real big.
Rarely is there an album where the best song is the first song, and that was that album. Like, Anthem Part 2 is the way they lead that thing off, and it's talking about, like, kids can't vote, adults elect them, like, we're all, you know, that album, man, either way.
Yeah, it was, that album was really, like, they really had, like, a couple of really, because it was, like, that one, and then there was Enema of the State.
Yeah, that was before it.
That was before, and then
they had the Untitled.
Yeah, Untitled, and then those three right there were pretty strong.
And then it was over.
Yeah. Though, I did like Neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like Neighborhoods.
That's got a couple of big bangers on it. Yeah. Like After Midnight, Ghost on the Dance Floor.
Yeah. I liked Good Snake Girls Charmer.
Like Descent. Is that the Good Girls Like Descent song? Yeah, that's
Snake.
That
Snake Charmer is really strong. I love Snake Charmer.
That's a solid Blink song.
Yeah, I
just saw their set list actually not too long ago.
And This Is Home is another one that was good too. That was a candidate for like my opening theme for radio when
Damn.
I started. But it was too much cursing at the beginning, so I was like,
Wishing Well's not bad.
Wishing Well's good. I like Wishing Well. Yeah, I like Wishing Well.
Go ahead.
Somebody brought up Dude Ranch. Dude Ranch was cool.
That album rocks.
It was cool, but it's the other three.
Really Dude strong. Ranch rocks, dude.
Yeah, Dude Ranch is good, though.
Which I found out what that was later on in life. was like, dude, ranch. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Anyways, we were talking about Royals expectations. Do you think the AL Central is the second best division in all of baseball?
Yeah.
It's the AL East.
It's
always
really competitive, like with the Royals
nuts,
in it.
Nuts, dude.
It's really, like,
Detroit
some good
just
teams,
fell out of competitiveness, too.
Yeah, they did.
Like,
they're
not
going to
catch because the top two, three teams are just consistent. Well, not the Royals consistently, but
yeah. Like a month and a half, like the first month and a half of the season, they were hanging around.
It was a four-team race.
Yeah,
there were four teams in that division that were above 500. There were four total teams in the NL above
500. And then the Tigers started playing at the level they probably should have been playing at.
Right.
And, you know, now it's a three-team race. But, I mean, obviously the Guardians have a huge lead, but still, like.
They lost today.
It's not over. Like, I know, like, a lot of people, oh, it's done. Like, they're not going to be able to play. No, it's not done. Like, baseball is one of those sports where it ebbs and flows. I mean, anything can change here.
No doubt. And I mean, that's the thing that's crazy is that you can, that's what's fun about baseball is that it's such a long season, but a lot of people react to it like it's the NFL season.
I've been saying this for a decade. Like,
right.
Royals fans treat a lot of Royals fans treat every win and loss like it's a regular season NFL loss for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. Like, you know, like, you know, somebody on the tech, oh, managerial decisions have cost us. No, they haven't. This team's just not a great team. They're a good team, but they're not a team that has reached that level yet to where they're going to be able to give you that consistent performance. This is just who they are. Right. It's not Cotrero's fault. It's the fault of the players who are not consistent because that's how it works in baseball.
Yeah, Vern always says it's not Cotrero that goes out there and has to throw the ball.
Yeah.
He's telling the guy, go do your job. Some guys don't do their job.
Yeah.
Look, somebody asked earlier, when is it, you know, time to start looking at the trade? Look, I know JJ is fishing. But you're still at a point early enough in the season where teams are like, I don't know if I want to buy in yet. I don't know if I want to sell yet. That's coming.
June. There were literally people on Twitter in the middle of that game saying the Royals need to be sellers at the deadline.
No.
And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? No. They are 5 games over 500 at that time.
I will say this before we wrap this segment up and get to the final segment. If you want to be buyers, and I hate to remind you of this because I've got buddies of mine whose parents are diehard Royals fans that know what I do for a living, and they pull me aside and say, Dusty, let me talk to you real quick. And the thing is, if you're going to go get something, you're going to have to give up something. This isn't a Madden trade where you can turn off fair trades.
Yeah.
If you're going to go get a loaded bullpen, they know how loaded your rotation is. They know Alec Marsh is there, who I think is untouchable. They know Brady Singer is there, which I do not think is untouchable. But remember, this is a cruise line season. We're in it for the long haul. We're having fun. Apply your sunscreen and know your limit, because this is what this baseball season is. Coming up, we'll get to the final segment, which is What Missed the Cut? I'm Dusty Likens. This is Chris Unicero as well, and this is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
The Los Angeles Lakers are on the clock. It's only fitting that this is the way this show ends. Bronny James, a lot of people don't think going in the first round, probably in the second round. Chris and I thought he'd go in the first round.
You know what? This happens a lot in the NBA draft. Teams will pick players and then they trade them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a situation where they take a player and then
someone
else takes him, and then they end up swapping players and they get like a pick out of it too.
Right.
I can see that happening too.
What a time to be alive. They're showing the draft profile and it's just TikToks.
This is ridiculous.
I mean, that's just where we're
this
at,
is ridiculous.
Dude. I was like, oh, that's his draft profile.
I will say this,
TikTok.
I despise social media, except for like Twitter's cool. Twitter's a cesspool, but it's cool because it's like great for information. It's great for us. I hate TikTok.
I'm starting to hate Facebook.
The only thing I do on Facebook is like, I'm in this wrestling group and we'll talk about wrestling, obviously. And like, that's literally the only joy I get from Facebook. That's it. Or like Facebook Messenger, because like me and my best friend talk on Messenger and we send each other memes and talk trash to each other.
Yeah, that's the way friends do things.
Yeah, that's how we do it. But like, I hate TikTok. I hate Instagram. Like,
I love Instagram.
I don't. There's things I like on Instagram, but Instagram as a whole, I hate it.
Chris Jones said this.
Hey, listen, man. Trav looked amazing, right? I absolutely loved it for him. But I'm gonna let Trav have that. I'm not in that field. Trav looked good though. Trav got moves. He's a very swifty guy. And him and Taylor Swift actually look really, really good together too, right? I'm a huge fan of that. Hey, listen, man.
Do you think this is the first year that we finally get a Chris Jones touchdown? Because I will speak this as much as I the year. I just said, give me some competitive baseball and get me to training camp. And so far, they're doing that. Now, if you are to up your expectations and think they can be a playoff team because of the month of May they had, then that's on you. That's putting yourself in an upper echelon of expectations. And for that, I applaud you, but also own those stripes if you're let down. Because in the all beginning, when we started this cruise ship, the narrative was quite simple. Let's have a fun summer of fun baseball and see what happens at the end and see how long we can ride this cruise ship. And that's what we're doing. Never once was it, we're going to ride this thing all the way to the playoffs, all the way to the ALCS, the ALDS, then the ALCS is how it goes, Dusty. But how we were going to do this was to have a fun summer of baseball. And by God, the Royals are doing that. You got people buying the app that said they weren't going to. I won't buy it. Oh, well, they're playing good baseball. You got people that say, oh, let's see what they're doing against Cleveland. What happens if they go take 2-3 out of 4 from Cleveland? I bet you're bought back in. And again, expectations. Would I love 3 out of 4? Of course. Will I be happy and smile and give high fives if they go 2 of 4 in Cleveland and split it? Damn right. But again, expectations are what make fan reactions different. I don't get mad at the people that turn the game off or, you know, don't want to watch it. I wish you would keep it on. Like that game against Seattle on that Friday night when they came back and won. Everybody goes, what happened the next day? I said, oh, you didn't see. Weird. What were you doing?
I'm cool. If you want to like turn the game off for that game, because like I've done that before, like Chiefs games where they just get absolutely blitzed and it's done by halftime. I can respect that. I can understand that. No one wants to watch their team go out there and get smacked around. So I get that.
Yeah.
But like if you're done with the team, if you're like, I'm not watching any more games because they lost a game when there's still multiple games above 500, like, dude, like, are you really in this? Like, are you really about this? Because, like, look, part of being a fan is watching a team lose games, man. Like, all of us have watched our teams lose games in ways that suck, you know? Like, I do not like watching highlights of Chiefs losses. So I get it. But, like, I'm not done with the team when they lose a game. I'm not going to go out and say, I'm done on this team. Like, there were people last, I'm done with the Chiefs team if they lose. Like, after the Raiders lost on Christmas, I'm done with the team. They're done. Like, look, we could be mad at the game and at the performance and at the effort. Being done with the team, really? After that? Nah, you're being dramatic here. Like, you can be mad at the team and also not pretend like you're going to abandon the team, you know? Right. Like, that's like when you're mad at your child for doing something they shouldn't do.
Yeah. At least you're not counting down the days to camp.
Yeah, you're not sitting there like, man, can't wait till you turn 18 so you get out the house. Like, you start doing that, you don't really seem like a mature parent, you know? It's that kind of situation with a lot of these fans.
Apparently we pissed off somebody about backing into parking lots.
Apparently. They wrote a whole memo on this.
I don't understand where these words get crossed. You know what? I'm not going to get into it. On the other side, we'll talk about Cleveland, and we won't talk about backing cars up because apparently somebody from the 913 took it a little too harsh and took words out of context. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Chris Lucero, and I apologize to all of you that like to back into your parking spots. Just do you, boo. This is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Somebody really liked your Blink-182 bump music, and then they asked, have you listened to the song, The Story, so far?
I have not.
I respect the song, but that's not Blink-182. The story so far is Newfound Glory from the album Sticks and Stones.
Oh yeah, I haven't heard that.
And that album goes way back. That's like my...
It's like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, I want to say that was probably like my 8th grade soundtrack. And then the Untitled Blink album was probably my 9th grade soundtrack. My 7th grade soundtrack was the Take Off Your Pants and whatever.
Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Yeah, that was my... That album changed my life.
That album was great.
That album definitely changed my life.
Yeah, yeah. We listened to that a lot down south.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding, man. That album, when it came out, I was like, that was one of those, like, Carrington always does those where it's like, what's an album that has no skips? That's one for me.
Yeah, that one's pretty great. I mean, like, the singles off of that one are really strong.
Oh, yeah. We had Stay Together for the Kids. You had First Date.
Girl
at the Rock Show. Which was like the poppy
hit. That one
hit.
Played so much on the radio. Like, yeah. First Date got some play, but mainly the Rock Show, that one was real big.
Rarely is there an album where the best song is the first song, and that was that album. Like, Anthem Part 2 is the way they lead that thing off, and it's talking about, like, kids can't vote, adults elect them, like, we're all, you know, that album, man, either way.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that album was really, like, they really had, like, a couple of really, because it was, like, that one, and then there was Enema of the State.
Yeah, that was before it.
That was before, and mm-hmm. then.
Then they had the Untitled.
Yeah, Untitled, and then those three right there were pretty strong.
And then it was over.
Yeah. Though, I did like Neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like Neighborhoods.
That's got a couple of big bangers on it. Yeah. Like After Midnight, Ghost on the Dance Floor.
Yeah. I liked
Good
Snake
Girls
Charmer.
Like Descent. Is that the Good Girls Like Descent song? Yeah, that's
Snake.
That
Snake
Charmer is
really strong. I love Snake Charmer.
That's a solid Blink song.
Yeah, I
just saw their set list actually not too long ago.
And This Is Home is another one that was good too. That was a candidate for like my opening theme for radio when
Damn.
I started. But it was too much. It's too much cursing at the beginning. So I was like,
Wishing Well's not bad.
Wishing Well's good. I like Wishing Well. Yeah, I like Wishing Well.
Go ahead.
Somebody brought up Dude Ranch. Dude Ranch was cool.
That album rocks.
It was cool, but it's the other three.
Really Dude strong. Ranch rocks, dude.
Yeah, Dude Ranch is good, though.
Which I found out what that was later on in life. I was like, Dude Ranch. And I was like, oh, no.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyways, we were talking about Royals expectations. Do you think the AL Central is the second best division in all of baseball?
Yeah.
It's the AL East
it's
always.
Really competitive. Like with the Royals
nuts,
in it.
Nuts, dude.
It's really. Like,
Detroit
some good
just
teams,
fell out of competitiveness, too.
Yeah, they did.
Like
they're
not
going to
catch because the top two, three teams are just consistent. Well, not the Royals consistently, but
like.
Like
a month and a half, like the first month and a half of the season, they were hanging around.
It was a four-team race.
Yeah.
There were four teams in that division that were above 500. There were four total teams in the
NL
above 500.
And the Tigers started playing at the level they probably should have been playing
right.
at. And, you know, now it's a three-team race. But, I mean, obviously the Guardians have a huge lead, but still, like.
They lost today.
Yeah, it's not over. Like, I know, like, a lot of people, oh, it's done. Like, they're not going to be able to play. No, it's not done. Like, baseball is one of those sports where it ebbs and flows. I mean. Anything can change here.
No doubt. And I mean, that's the thing that's crazy is that that's what's fun about baseball is that it's such a long season, but a lot of people react to it like it's the NFL season.
I've been saying this for a decade. Like,
right.
Royals fans treat a lot of Royals fans treat every win and loss like it's a regular season NFL loss for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. Like, you know, like, you know, somebody on the tech, oh, managerial decisions have cost us. No, they haven't. This team's just not a great team. They're a good team, but they're not a team that has reached that level yet to where they're going to be able to give you that consistent performance. This is just who they are. Right. It's not Cotrero's fault. It's the fault of the players who are not consistent because that's how it works in baseball.
Yeah, Vern always says it's not Cotrero that goes out there and has to throw the ball.
Yeah.
He's telling the guy, go do your job. Some guys don't do their job. Look, somebody asked earlier, when is it, you know, time to start looking at the trade? Look, I know JJ is fishing. But you're still at a point early enough in the season where teams are like, I don't know if I want to buy in yet. I don't know if I want to sell yet. That's coming. June.
There were literally people on Twitter in the middle of that game saying the Royals need to be sellers at the deadline.
No.
And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? No. They are 5 games over 500 at that time.
I will say this before we wrap this segment up and get to the final segment. If you want to be buyers And I hate to remind you of this because I've got buddies of mine whose parents are diehard Royals fans that know what I do for a living, and they pull me aside and say, Dusty, let me talk to you real quick. And the thing is, if you're going to go get something, you're going to have to give up something. This isn't a Madden trade where you can turn off fair trades. Yeah. If you're going to go get a loaded bullpen, they know how loaded your rotation is. They know Alec Marsh is there, who I think is untouchable. They know Brady Singer is there, which I do not think is untouchable. But remember, this is a cruise line season. We're in it for the long haul. We're having fun. Apply your sunscreen and know your limit, because this is what this baseball season is. Coming up, we'll get to the final segment, which is What Missed the Cut? I'm Dusty Likens. This is Chris Unicero as well, and this is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
The Los Angeles Lakers are on the clock. It's only fitting that this is the way this show ends. Bronny James, a lot of people don't think going in the first round, probably in the second round. Chris and I thought he'd go in the first round.
You know what? And this is this happens a lot in the NBA draft. Teams will pick players and then they trade them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a situation where they take a player and then
someone
else takes him, and then they end up swapping players and they get like a pick out of it too.
Right.
I can see that happening too.
What a time to be alive. They're showing the draft profile, and it's just TikToks.
This is ridiculous.
I mean, that's just where we're at, dude. This is ridiculous. I was like, oh, that's his draft profile.
I will say this.
TikTok.
I despise social media, except for like Twitter's cool. Twitter's a cesspool, but it's cool because it's like great for information. It's great for us. I hate TikTok.
I'm starting to hate Facebook.
The only thing I do on Facebook is like, I'm in this wrestling group and we'll talk about wrestling, obviously. And like, that's literally the only joy I get from Facebook. That's it. Or like Facebook Messenger, because like me and my best friend talk on Messenger and we send each other memes and talk trash to each other.
Yeah, that's the way friends do things.
Yeah, that's how we do it. But like, I hate TikTok. I hate Instagram. Like, I
love Instagram.
I don't. There's things I like on Instagram, but Instagram as a whole, I hate it.
Chris Jones said this.
Hey, listen, man. Trav looked amazing, right? I absolutely loved it for him. But I'm gonna let Trav have that. I'm not in that field. Yeah, Trav looked good though. Trav got moves. He's a very swifty guy. And Him and Taylor Swift actually look really, really good together too, right? I'm a huge fan of that. Hey, listen, man.
Do you think this is the first year that we finally get a Chris Jones touchdown? Because I will speak this as much as I can.
No, I don't think
we don't have many years left of Chris Jones.
No, we don't. We maybe have two, maybe three.
And it's got to be somewhere in the archives. Because I thought when I would see this audio or hear this audio, I'd be like, I want a chance to prove my. And it's always like Chris Jones will always try to like, you know, piggyback onto certain things like that. But are we ever going to get a Chris Jones touchdown?
No, Bronny at 17 is Dalton Kinect.
Oh, he actually got drafted. I'm so happy for him.
He actually got drafted.
Now they got him and Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
There you go. They got the same damn player.
The only way I can, only way I can see is if they do like Hungry Pig again, like they did against the Broncos on Christmas. Was it 2017?
That was Dontari Poe.
Yeah, that was Dontari Poe. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Maybe they do like a refrigerator parry and he lines up as a fullback and gets a touchdown and pisses off their starting running back, Walter Payton, because Walter wanted to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Might have been an incentive theirs too.
Oh yeah, that too. But I think he was really mad he didn't get that touchdown in the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, if they do that, I'm cool. If they want to put him in on fourth and one, he just bulldozes his way.
I've never understood why not. Are they afraid that he's going to fumble?
That and probably worried about him getting hurt too. Like,
or hurting someone else on the offensive line. Because I can only imagine if like they were to do like the sort of, you know what it is, the goal line push, and his big ass falls on your knee, dude.
Because that's a lot of weight to come down on your back.
Like Pacheco's what, 210, 205?
He's like 205.
Okay. Chris Jones is 285. I mean, he's not
like
that.
He's like 300. He's over 300.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's a real big dude.
I don't think I've fallen on my left leg.
And he's probably not that graceful as a ball carrier. So, yeah. I
would love it.
I'd be cool if they tried it, but I get why they don't. I get it.
So it's still not going to happen.
I don't think it will. I think he's going to go touchdownless. He's never scored a touchdown, right?
No, like, not he's on the, always wanted to.
I think he's going to go touchdownless. No, he didn't. He didn't get one against the Jags in 2019.
Don't believe so.
No, maybe that's someone else.
You got big plans for the rest of the weekend?
No, taking it easy. I just got back in town last week.
I was gonna
say,
you
got
to rest up. Well, the end of the show is here. I apologize for those of you that want more, maybe sometime in the future. But as always, go do nice things for people. You never know, it could change their day, week, month, or year. I've seen a lot of it, been a member of a lot of it, been doing a lot of it as best I can. It's cool to care. Kansas City, it simply is. Stay kind and stay safe. Kansas City, I love you. Let the music play out.
Peace out.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.